Today, I woke up in a little bit of a different mood, and I'm going to try to spell it out for you, lay it out for you here this morning. Appreciate all of you joining with us. We got some new faces in. We got Chris down in Ashland, Kentucky's joining in. We got Catherine out there in Las Vegas. Love for you to. I know a lot of you listening never make the way into the queue here, and I understand that's okay. But we sure would like to invite you in because here your 2 cents is worth 2 cents. The multitude of many counselors is great wisdom, great knowledge. Great information, great understanding. We'd like to invite as many of you in as we can. I watch every once in a while stuff that's going on TV. I watch what's going on in the culture. I watch what's going on in our pulpits. And I swear, I say, Lord, why aren't a million people watching what's going on here? That's my heart cry, that a million people would tune into this every morning and say, oh, my goodness. You don't have to tune in the morning. Just tune in. That our relentless pursuit for the truth. That's what I'm. That's like somebody else coined that, but I might steal it. I'm in a relentless pursuit of the truth, and I'm honored that many of you would join with us today. I'm flummoxed by two different things. Number one, I'm greatly encouraged by the victory of Judge Roy Moore last night by almost 10 points. He beat Luther Strange. It's really a blow to the globalists and a blow to the Republican Party, which dumped $30 million into one Senate race in state Alabama. Mitch McConnell and those guys, $30 million they put into that race. See, it wasn't like they would. You would think that a Republican Party would just like to have whatever Republican you would get, wouldn't you think? Republicans, you wouldn't think that why would the Senate get involved in selecting a senator from Alabama? You got two Republicans running. Why don't they just sit back, let it play out? Why wouldn't Mitch McConnell and those guys put $30 million in to defeat Judge Roy Moore? $30 million. To see the establishment swamp in Washington try to buy the seat in Alabama. You know, Judge Roy Moore is one of the most amazing. We'll be reading books about him later on. He may not be done politically. We don't know what's going to happen. He's a classic example of a guy who turns tragedy into triumph. You know that two times, he was removed from his job. He was duly elected Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Alabama twice. And twice, the courts removed him, not the people. Judge Roy Moore, and the Ten Commandment judge in 2004, I think it was, wouldn't remove the Ten Commandments. And who removed him from office? The judiciary. The judiciary removed him from office. And then he went off lived his life doing whatever and comes back and runs for the Supreme Court justice again. The people of Alabama elect him again. And he stands up and he fights against homo marriage and stands up for the state of Alabama and states' rights. And what do? The people of Alabama, they vote him out? No, not the people of Alabama. They didn't vote him out. The judicial system does. The courts are out of control. The stinking courts are out of control. And they removed Judge Roy Moore again, a second time. Second time. And then what happened? Jeff Sessions goes and becomes the Attorney General of the United States. His seat comes open. The governor of Alabama appoints Luther Strange, who is, by the way, the Attorney General who was investigating the governor. I'll say that again. Luther Strange was the Attorney General who was investigating the governor. In Alabama, Luther Strange, the attorney general, was investigating the governor. What did the governor do? Appointed Luther Strange to the Senate. Something illegal, gotta be something illegal here. There gotta be. So Luther Strange goes to Big Luther, they call him because he's like 6'7", 6'8", or something. They send Big Luther to Washington, D.C., and he gets in there and gets in the swamp and does really good in the swamp. And the swamp boys, they want to keep old Luther right where he is because they know he's a team player. They know what kind of guy he is. The last thing they want is some fire-breathing, Bible-believing Baptist boy in there. They dumped $30 million in there to keep old Luther in there. Judge Moore, after being elected and removed for a third time, had the courage to run and was elected again.
Amen. It's one of the Thank most, you, Lord Jesus.
One of the most Amen, remarkable... Brother. It's one of the most remarkable political stories in history. We're living too close to it. We don't really get it. It's again, the people of Alabama gave the middle finger to the swamp. Do you guys really, do you see what's going on? They've done it now for the third time. They've now done it. Third time. It wasn't even close.
I want to call it the Ossoff effect, brother.
The Ossoff effect, yes, sir. And President Trump, popular Donald Trump, went down there and voted for, supported Luther Strange. Big mistake. I think Trump knows it was a big mistake. But he went down there and he promoted and supported that swamp-dwelling Luther Strange. And so there's a great phenomenon that's going on in America, and it's this. It's Trumpism. It's not Trump. We'll say that again. The two are not the same. See, you can support Trumpism and not be a Donald Trump supporter. I don't know if you guys get what I'm saying.
I do.
And I've been saying this for over a year. When I first came out in support of Donald Trump, I said when I first came out in support of Donald Trump, I said it's not about Donald Trump. It's not what Donald Trump represents. It's the pushback and the kickback of the American people against a corrupt system. And people didn't get it. Some of them still don't get it. Some of my Christian friends still don't get it. They still want to talk about the fact that he grabbed a woman's pee. And they still want to talk about that. And then he's been divorced and he's a casino owner. They miss it. So the swamp comes down. They try to elect Luther Strange. And Roy Moore kicked their butt. 30 million to 2 million.
It's not Trump.
It's not Trump. It's not Trump.
It's truth.
It's truth. Truth. It gives me some hope this morning. Gives me some hope.
It's another miracle, Coach.
It is another miracle. It is. But see, here's what happens to me. I can't even enjoy a victory. I can't. I have two things that ask me. I have two things that run through my head. I can't even enjoy a victory. Somebody explain to me how in the hell 44% of Alabamans could vote against Judge Moore. And 44% of Republicans voted against Judge Moore. What does that tell us about where we are? Amazing.
Those weren't Republicans, brother. Those are rhinos.
They're rhinos. And number two, why are men so sissified? What is wrong with men? I had a conversation just before I went, just before we were in the queue, and I'm saying, look, how many people we got in here today? 18 people. We got room for 30. So why won't this thing fill up? Why won't 30 people fill up? You know what Jared said? You know what Jared said? Men are afraid. How are you going to stay afraid? How long? They're going to throw a box full of dirt on top of you. You're going to go to your grave afraid. Judge Moore ain't afraid. We went to that event down in Branson, Missouri. 3,000 people down there. True Legends Conference. Like pulling teeth to get people to give you their email address. Trying to get unified, get some unified front to push back against this darkness. Some unified front. Now they're too afraid to give you their email. Somebody might be watching them. Hey, listen, dude. They're watching, all right? They already got you marked.
Hey,
the question
Coach.
Is, at what point in your life are you going to push back? Yes.
You know, the removal of the Ten Commandments. The removal of the Ten Commandments was a front. Chief Justice Roy Moore came down and spoke to Operation Save America in 2008. And he showed us the video, said, listen, I know they're telling you it was the Ten Commandments, the reason why they removed me from court. But he goes, you know, I wasn't removed from court for that reason. He said it was because I opened my court in prayer every day. He said, and that's the reason why I was removed.
Amen. Acknowledging God. Okay. Since we're already there, let's go ahead, Jared. I got it in the stuff I sent to you today. I want you to play Judge Roy Moore's part of his victory speech last night. It's the second thing on the list there. I want you to start to 130 mark of this. You know what? I appreciate Judge Roy Moore for his courage. You don't think there's a mark out on that boy's life? You don't think he knows it? You don't think that he knows the swamp that he's swimming against? You don't think he understands? My goodness. My goodness. We're talking about a brave guy here. We may not watch this whole thing, but I want you to listen, guys. You're going to know in the first 1 minute of watching this thing why they hate him. Hey, he ain't afraid. We are. He ain't afraid. He's laying his head on the line. He's got a beautiful wife and children and grandchildren. He's got a life he's living just like we are. You know, something, he got something in his belly that a lot of you guys could get a little piece of, and it might help. Go ahead and start that, Jared, the 130 mark last night.
There's one you don't see up here. Let me just tell you, he's done more for my campaign than anybody. And that's Almighty God. Amen. I want everybody to understand.
He's the words.
You know, when I talk about God in this campaign, I've never prayed to win this campaign. I've only prayed that God's will be done. Because I think you can sometimes win on your own, and it's not a good thing. And sometimes you can lose, and it's the best thing.
Wow.
But the best thing we can do is put it in the hands of the Almighty. And as Saran was saying, there's nothing too great for God. For one day every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain or hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. You know, we're put here on earth for a short time. And for that short time, our duty is to serve Almighty God and to acknowledge Him in all things. I've just been talking. I've talked to the governor who's congratulated me, Governor Ivey. I've talked to Mr. Strange, who has recognized that I won and that he would work with me. I've talked to Senator Lee, Senator Paul, Rand Paul, and Senator Cruz, and various others that are important in our government. Together we can make America great. We can support the president. Don't let anybody in the press think that because he supported my opponent that I do not support him and support his agenda. As long as it's constitutional, as long as it advances our society, our culture, our country, I will be supportive, as long as it's constitutional. But we have to return the knowledge of God and the Constitution of the United States to the United States Congress.
You can stop it, Jared. Now you know why you hate him. They hate him. Right there is why they hate him. And don't make any mistake about it. Entire Republican Party is against him. Why would that be? He mentioned Rand Paul. He mentioned Ted Cruz. He mentioned Mike Lee. Why would the rest of the Republicans be against him? Why would the Republican Party in Alabama be against him?
Because he's a statesman and he's going to make them look bad.
Exactly right, man. He's going to be a reflecting pool, isn't he? They're going to look into it and they don't like it. They can't control him. They can't buy him off. They probably can't get him to bed down some women to get pictures of him. They can't get him in a homosexual relationship, get him drunk and on drugs and get him in a homosexual relationship. Can't do that to him. See?
Just like Tim Tebow.
Like Tim Tebow. Good point, Jared. Good point. But hey, what the hell's wrong with you? What are you doing? Make a difference. Get up, read the Bible a little bit, watch the show. What are you doing?
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
You know, Coach, it's kind of like Henry Gruber said in Branson, a lot of Christians don't realize that they're already dead. If we're truly dead in Christ, we died. Our life isn't our own. So, you know, really the only thing to really truly fear is the second death, not dying physically, but the second death. And so when you don't fear physical death, then what won't you do for Christ? Why won't men speak out? I think your show would be filled. I think people would be waiting to get in on the queue. And I'm expecting that. I'm expecting men are going to step up.
Because it's not about me. It's not about I'm hosting the show. There's an unbelievable dynamic that's happening here. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like it. And we cannot miss this moment of his visitation. Go to Jeremiah 1. You do that for me, Jared? Jeremiah 1, this is my wife. She read this before she went to bed last night. She woke up this morning. She just said, honey, you got to read Jeremiah 1 on your shelf. So we're going to. If I want Joe Farrell to read it, I like his voice. Can you do that for me, Joe?
Yes, I can.
On the screen, can you see it? Can you see it on the screen?
Yes. How far do you want to go?
You just start and you go, and I'm going to try to shut up.
That'll work. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, the king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Jedidiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, and unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month.
Let me stop right there a second, Joe. See, a lot of people, those first three verses, we get messed up with Hilkiah and Josiah and Ammon and stuff. This is preparing for us a lineage that we would understand. It would be like saying today, you know, George Washington gave birth to Thomas Jefferson, who gave birth to, and just, it's a lineage, okay? So these just aren't words. This is creating a line, a lineage, a path showing what the Lord's done. Go ahead, Joe. Here's where we want to get verse 4.
Okay. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I commanded thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem and against all the walls thereof round about. and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defenced city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the peoples of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee.
That'd be some powerful words right there, boys. I want you to notice, how many times is love mentioned? How many times is getting saved mentioned? How many times is tolerance mentioned? How many times is forgiveness mentioned? See, we have not yet convinced ourselves that we're at war. And Jeremiah 1 is totally and completely equipping Jeremiah for war. Can't you see that? Can't you see how he says he's going to smite him, going to destroy him? And isn't it amazing? He said, don't be afraid of their faces. What's the face? What is the face? It's just nothing more than the outward expression of a person. That's all face is. Why are you afraid of their faces? Of what they look like or what you might think they are, how strong you might think they are? What are you afraid of, man? Why are you afraid? Don't be afraid of their faces. I am with you. By the way, what does he say? 19. And they shall fight against you. They're fighting against us. But they're not going to prevail against you. Because I'm with you, saith the Lord, to deliver you. Golly. I wonder if Jeremiah 1 is permitted to be preached in our churches anymore. Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew you. Rich, before you were even formed, he knew you. George, he knew you before he even formed you in the womb. Dale, he knew you before he even formed you in the womb. And he had a task set up for you, just as he had the task set up for Jeremiah. And what was the task that was set up and given to Jeremiah? To go deliver the people, to go stand and fight against darkness, stand against the evil ones, stand against their faces. Go, because I'm with you to deliver you. Before he formed you in the womb, he called you. Now, guys, this just ain't Jeremiah. See, God is no respecter of persons. If he can call Jeremiah to do something, he can call you to do something. What is he calling you to do? I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, although I don't really care. We had such a skeleton crew down in Texas. Just a skeleton crew. We were afraid we were going to have too many when we first started up. We thought, well, hell, certainly guys will run down there to help. They'll run down there to help. They didn't. Somebody else will do it. I can't get off. I can't get off. Listen, I'm not making fun of you. I'm just telling you something. There's a freaking war going on, and we got a million other things that we want to do rather than fight. And I got to tell you the truth. I'm sick and tired of traveling. I'm sick and tired of airports. I'm sick and tired of standing out in the heat. I'm sick and tired of it. Why do I do it and you don't? Because I don't think we all understand really the seriousness of the times in which we live. Half of the folks are sitting around waiting for the rapture, like they're going to die go to heaven without dying. sitting around hoping that the Lord's going to come. We Americans got it so soft and so easy. We're sitting around hoping that Lord comes and takes us out of here before it gets hard. Well, dude, let me tell you something. It's already hard. You just haven't felt it yet. And they're setting you up for a trap. They're putting a walled city around you. And if you can't see it, I don't know what to tell you. And you're going to wake up, you big, I'm talking about me now, you big old fat, overstuffed, whatever. You're sitting around and they're setting your children and your grandchildren up as snares. Hell, you don't even care.
Hey, Coach, why don't you go to Jeremiah chapter 7:27 and see what the Lord says? Because this is for you also. The question is, where are they? Why aren't they doing this? This is the same Lord speaking to the same man, Jeremiah.
Okay, hang on, Jared. 7:27. I'm not Jared. I'm sorry. Dale, 7:27.
Yeah. Jeremiah 7. This is for you, Coach. This is an answer to your question this morning.
Jeremiah 7:27. Therefore, thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. Wow. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from the mouth. Cut off your hair, O Jerusalem, cast away, take up a lamentation on high places. For the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house called by my name to pollute it. They've built their high places, and they've built their high places at Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire. There it is, which I commanded them not to do, and neither came into them my heart. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of son Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. Where they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place. And the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven, the beasts of the earth, and none shall fray them away. Then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah, from the streets of Jerusalem, the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, and the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. We are standing right now on the precipice of something so big and so huge that we can't even see it. And we're spending all of our time and all of our energy getting wrapped up in meaningless debates about the NFL and Patriots and not Patriots and getting all messed up on it. When, as Judge Roy Moore told us, it is all about the Lord and the word of the Lord and obedience to the Lord. And there ain't one man and 10 million that will stand up and do a damn thing about it. Somebody say amen.
Amen. Hey, can I add one thing, brother?
Amen.
Add more than one.
Okay. I wish I found this out yesterday because it would have been more appropriate in yesterday's show. Kaepernick is not black. How's that?
Is that right? I think I saw that. At least he was raised by white parents. I do know that for sure. I do know that for sure. Part of the great deception, see? Part's what's going on around us. We stand up and cheer and we think, go Judge Moore. Yay, Judge Moore. We got a righteous man in office right now. Well, he can't do a damn thing if you don't rise up and do something. And I'm telling you guys, if Christians now, you better hear me. If Christians now don't rally around Donald Trump, it will be to our eternal demise.
Amen.
We are on the verge. I know you don't get this. You don't know what just happened in Alabama. See, the Lord allowed Judge Moore to win against Trump, against the Republican establishment. He allowed the people to step up and put a righteous man in office. It's unbelievably huge. Because why? Like I told you, they don't want a righteous man in office. They don't want a righteous man in office. Have you noticed it? Well, Jared sent it to me. Jared pulled up here. The left hates us. They hate us. When are we going to get it? When are we going to understand it's a war? They hate us. Hang on a minute. Yeah, Jeff.
Coach. Hey, I just want to call in and say this morning.
Sounds good.
Mr. Bill's been promoting this to people to run for some kind of an office. And I know I've talked to you, and I've made the decision. I've been thinking about it for months, but I am going to run for county commissioner here in our town.
Do it.
I was addressing that to some Christians last night. They were out in the streets feeding some people, and these people looked at me really weird, and they just looked at me, and then one guy said is, why? He didn't get it.
Yeah.
So I got to share with him how I ran for school board, mustered up 3,100 votes just in the city limits, and they got 8 people running for this county commissioner seat. So it's going to be a chance again to take the pulpit at the debates, open up your Bible, and thus saith the Lord. It'll be a great time. Like Judge Rumor said, it's the will of God. Whether you win or not, you know what I mean?
That's right. You're a witness, man. I've run a couple times. I haven't won. I'm a witness. I'm a witness. I wasn't going to say.
It's a blast, isn't it?
It's a blast. Jeff, got to go, man. Listen, I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to say it now. Right here in my local. You know, 3 years ago. Oh, I shouldn't say it, Lord. Yes, I will. 5 years ago. I don't know. I lose track of time. I offered my services to be head football coach at our local school. Homos came in, attacked, wouldn't let me, prevented me from being the head football coach. Church lay silent, dormant. Church didn't do anything. Just yesterday, 2 days ago, a local football coach, junior high football coach in the school district was arrested for raping a 14-year-old girl. Now you say, what's that got to do with anything? You answer that for me. You answer it for me. And you know the worst thing of it is, JR? You know the worst thing about it is? Right now, the church could raise up godly candidates and take over the thinking government. The church could right now raise up godly men and take over the government. Right now! They won't do it. You say, Coach, we're never going to purify this nation. Well, hell no, we don't run Christians for office. We run Luther Strange, John McCain, Lindsey Graham. How do we know whether we could or not? 44% of the people voted for Luther Strange. Hey, boys and girls, the left hates act accordingly. This is from Kurt Schleister. Jared sent me this morning. I think it's worth it. Worth it. Hey, Joe, I love your voice, man. Jump in here, bud. Read this for us. The left hates you. Act accordingly. They hate you. They will kill you. They will bury you. They will destroy your children. Act accordingly.
Okay. Do you want me to read it?
I do, Joe.
Okay. They hate you. Leftists don't merely disagree with you. Don't merely feel you are misguided. They don't think you are merely wrong. They hate you. They want you enslaved and obedient, if not dead. Once you get that, everything that is happening now will make sense. And you will understand what you need to be ready to do.
Amen.
You are normal and therefore a heretic. You refuse to bow to their idols, to subscribe to their twisted catechisms, to praise their false gods. This is unforgivable. You must burn. Crazy talk? Just ask them. Go ahead. Go on social media. Find a leftist. It's easy. Just say something positive about America or Jesus, and they'll come swarming like locusts. Engage them, and very quickly they will drop their mask and tell you what they really think. Keep rapidly expanding file of Twitter leftist death wish screenshots. They will tell you that Christians are idiots and vets are scum. That normals are subhumans whose role is to labor as serfs, to subsidize the progressive elite and its clients. You would die to make way for man, woman, slash other, whatever that may be. Understand that when they call Donald Trump illegitimate, what they are really saying is that our desire to govern ourselves is illegitimate. Their beef isn't with him. The normal people who dared rise up and demand their right to participate in the rule of this country and this culture. They hate you because by defying them, you have prevented them from living up to the dictates of their false religion. Obviousness has denied them state of grace they seek, exercising their divine right to dictate every aspect of our puny lives. Their sick faith gives meaning to these secular weirdos, giving them something that fills their empty lives with a messianic fervor to go out and conquer and convert the heathens. And the heathens are us. Oh, there are different leftist sects. There are social justice warriors who have manufactured a bizarre mythology and scripture of oppression, privilege, and intersectionality. Instead of robes, they dress up as genitals and kill babies as a blasphemous sacrament. Then they, pagan weather religion oddballs, convinced that the end is near and that we must repent by turning in our SUVs. Of course, the quote-unquote we is really the quote-unquote us. High priest of the global warming cult, like Leonardo DiCaprio, around the world with supermodels while we do the ritual sacrificing of our modern comforts. Then there are the ones who simply worship themselves, the elitists who believe that all wisdom and morality because they went to the right college, think the right thoughts, and sneer at anyone living between I-5 and I-95. But all the leftist sects agree they have found the revealed truth, and imposing it upon the benighted normals like us is so transcendentally important that they are relieved of any imitations. They are ISIS, except with hashtags instead of AKs, committed to the establishment of a leftist caliphate. You wonder why the left is now justifying violence? Because they think that helps them right now. Today, it's suddenly okay to punch a Nazi. But the punchline is that anyone who opposes them is a Nazi. You wonder why they ignore the rule of law? When they could switch on a dime from screaming at Trump for refusing to preemptively legitimize a Hillary win and then scream that he is illegitimate the moment she lost? Because their only principle is what helps the left win today. That's why the media gleefully, happily lies every single day about the every single thing it reports. Objectivity? When that stopped being a useful thing, it stopped being a thing at all. They are fanatics, and not by surrendering. And by not surrendering, by not kneeling, and by not obeying, you have committed an unpardonable sin. You have defied the left, and you must be broken. They will take your job, slander your name, even beat you or kill you, whatever it takes to break you, and terrify others by making you an example. Your defiance cannot stand. They cannot allow this whole Trump / GOP majority thing to get out of control. They must crush this rebellion of the normal, and absolutely nothing is off the table. We've seen them burn UC Berkeley and how the police controlled by the leftist state government in California as Americans were beaten by the mob. Why? Because the government of the state of California approves of the violence. Do you think it's a coincidence that California is doing everything it can to disarm its normals? The left won't say it out loud. But make no mistake, if violence is what it takes for the left to prevail, then violence will have. You saw it, and you were meant to. Berkeley was a message about the price of dissent, where leftists hold sway, and they seek to hold sway everywhere. How do we respond? The first step is to end the denial. Open your eyes. See what is happening. Don't allow yourself to be deluded by false nostalgia for a past period of cultural peace that existed only because at that time the left was winning. They hate. Look at Twitter. Look at Facebook. Try and tell yourself that leftists are just nice people who disagree with you on a few policy details. Stop fooling yourself. It must get much worse before it can get better. We may wish to stop the cultural political struggle, but they can't stop. Their religion tells them we are greedy, racist, sexist, homophobe morons. Who hate science and love Hitler. How could they tolerate us? How could they ever allow us power? They can't. Their sick ideology and false theology requires that we be enslaved or exterminated. We can't be tolerated, and we certainly can't be allowed to hold the reins of power. I hope that my novel about what lies at the bottom of this blood-soaked, slippery slope would be rendered moot by the GOP's victory in November. The left has redoubled its efforts. So the outcome is that one side wins and the other loses. There's no truce to be had, no possibility of a tie. And the frightening thing is that the left is so foolish, so stuck in its bubble that it has no understanding that it can only push so far before the people with all the guns and all the training. That's the problem with kids who were raised on participation trophies who never got into a fist fight. They don't consider it a possibility that they will lose and lose hard. We must ensure they do. Understand your enemy. Understand that the left will exploit your principles and morals to make you disarm yourself, figuratively and literally. Don't play their game. Don't fall for their manufactured outrages. Never take their side against the people defending your liberty. Most of all, accept the truth that if we let them win, we will spend the rest of our lives on our with a giant Birkenstock pressed into our collective face. They hate us, and how we need to be prepared to fight.
Never concede their lies. Never concede their lies. The American church has conceded their lies. The American church has accepted that a baby is not a baby. The American church has conceded that lie. The American church has conceded that a man can marry a man, that that's a marriage. The church has conceded that lie. The American church has conceded that a woman and a woman can have a family, just like a woman and a man. The church has conceded those lines. We're losing by forfeit. Yeah, somebody tried to jump in. Go ahead.
Chapter 5, verse 28 through 31, brother. Pull that up and read it. Actually, the whole fifth chapter is exactly...
Actually, you could live in Jeremiah, couldn't you? You could live in Jeremiah if you really, really wanted to, the weeping prophet who didn't convert anyone. Do you guys understand that? Jeremiah had not one saved soul. Jeremiah didn't save one soul. And all the church wants to talk about is getting people saved. Jeremiah did not have one soul saved. The weeping prophet never converted anybody. Just spoke the truth, the oracles of God. Jeremiah 5, where, Jared?
28 through 31.
Thanks for reading that, Joe, by the way. 28 through 31.
Yep.
Let's start at 27. As a cage is full of birds, so are the houses full of deceit. Therefore, they are become great and waxen rich. Oh, boy, I preach right there. Boy, let's go to 26. For among my people are found wicked men. See, among his people, they lay wait as he that set his snares. They set a trap. They catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore, they have become great and waxen rich. He's talking about the churches. They're waxing fat. Yeah, they shine. Yeah, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper. And the right of the needy, they don't judge that. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in this land. That's what I woke up this morning with, a wonderful and a horrible thing. I couldn't diagnose it. I woke up with a wonderful thing and a horrible thing. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in this land. The prophets prophesy falsely, conceive lies. And the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? Boy, good scripture, Dale. You live in Jeremiah. You live in Jeremiah. So, guys, what do you do? What do we do when we're faced with an enemy who is hell-bent on our complete and total destruction? Are we supposed to do what the American church tells us to do? Just get them all saved. Let's just get them saved. Give them the gospel and get them saved. Did Jeremiah talk about getting them saved? Have we ever even in our mind understood that there is an enemy out there who is hell-bent on stealing your children? Have your children been stolen from you? You want to let happen to your grandchildren? Sit by and watch your grandchildren be stolen? Continue to fund the government schools that are stealing your grandchildren? Continue to fund Planned Parenthood, which is murdering your grandchildren? Is that what our response is supposed to be? Is that what Jeremiah would have said and done? The other end, the other side's playing for keeps. And the souls of men are at risk. The souls of your children, your grandchildren. I'm feeling this. Maybe there's cooler head than me that can prevail right now. Come on in.
Jeremiah 29, the whole chapter, don't have to read it, but everybody wants to quote that little bread scripture in verse 11. But in actually prior to that, the Lord told Jeremiah, he says, these people are a stiff-necked people. He says, and I'm putting them in captivity for 70 years. You might as well build houses, plant vineyards, and take wives, Jeremiah, because the people ain't going nowhere until they repent. And then he says, for thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you and bring you back to the place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. See, we just want to get to that blessing part of it. But God had to break.
Social, you know this better than anybody. When you were down there in Port Arthur on the ground feeding people, They got angry with you. Church people got angry with you when you wanted to preach repentance to those people who were in a hurting situation. Yes or no, Dale?
We had Rusty preaching for 2 hours, brother. You know it. It was almost became an uprisal.
Yeah, they don't want to hear it, do they? They don't want to hear it. They want to hear about the blessings of God. They don't want to hear about the judgment of God.
Yep. Yep.
We've conceded their lies. Did you get it? We've conceded their lies. They've done nothing but lie to us. And we say, okay, here, teach it to our kids. Oh, you need me to raise my taxes and do it? Well, here, let me raise my taxes and do it. Here's some more money. Teach it to my kids. Oh, by the way, our band, have you seen our band? You seen the band, how good the band's doing? Right in front of us. And there's not one in 10,000 that'll even speak up. You say, well, Coach, what are we supposed to do? It's so daggone overwhelming. Overwhelming. I'm going to tell you something. Now, you can swallow this one or you cannot swallow this one. There are within, right where you live right now, if you went a mile square, I didn't even know what that would look like. But if you went a mile that direction and a mile that direction and a mile that direction and a mile that direction, a mile square, do you have any idea how many people in that square agree with you? Is there anybody doing anything to try to pull those folks together? Anybody?
Yes.
I come on here and I talk to people, say, hey, build a downline, find 10 people that agree with you. What? Well, maybe you're not blowing your trumpet. Maybe there are others out there laying, hiding in the woods just like you, but they're not going to pop their heads up. They're afraid. Well, somebody's got to quit being afraid. Somebody's got to quit being afraid and rise up and stick your head above the crowd. Yeah, they're going to pop at you. Yeah, they're going to shoot at you. Yeah, they're going to throw crap at you. Yeah, they're going to stick the government on you. Yeah, they're going to do that. But your children and your grandchildren's future is at risk because we conceded lies. Just get them saved, Coach. Don't get so stressed out. Just get them all saved. How the hell is that working? Awful quiet out there today, boys.
I don't even know my next door neighbor. How's that?
Yeah, there you go.
That's how it is.
That's how it is.
Time to get loud.
Time to get loud, baby. The other side's loud.
Hey, brother, when my neighbor found out I was a pastor, they wanted to build a fence and put a for sale sign in their property. I just want to let you know that's the same house where you all stayed in when you came down last year.
Yeah,
because repentance is the beginning of the gospel. And, brother, God knitted our hearts together through repentance.
Amen. One of the points I made last week, I haven't done it. We've moved. I've been gone all the time. I got to find out who am I. I got to build a downline. I had a conversation with some of the guys yesterday about our events down in Rockport, those who came. And I said, you know, it's very obvious to me. Nobody has a downline. One guy goes, guy comes from Ohio, guy comes from Illinois, guy comes from Texas, another guy comes from Indiana, but ain't nobody got a downline. They don't bring anybody with them. And we're not going to win this war if it's just me and you. Not going to happen. Guys, do you understand what Judge Rory Moore just showed us? You understand? You understand that luckily there are more of us than there are that. Do you understand that the only way that Hillary Clinton won the popular vote is because two reasons. Number one, cheating and ignorance. That's the only reason they want. You understand that there are hundreds of millions of us who still believe in truth, justice, and the American way. Hundreds of millions of them. And the only thing it can do is get us to divide and conquer over standing for the national anthem. The last 3 days, I turn on some talk radio programs. That's all they are talking about. And people are upset. This guy won't bow. This guy does bow. This guy shouldn't have bowed. They ought to all bow. And they're murdering stinking babies. And there ain't nobody that cares. And tomorrow I'm going to have another one. God bless my wife. Another one she sent to me this morning on the cavalier attitude of the church regarding the slaughter of the unborn children. That don't matter to the Lord. He don't care about abortion. He'll just take them to heaven anyway. I had some idiot tell me that. I love my little grandbabies. I was gone for 4 days. I came home. There's no greater joy in the world than those little grandkids. And I went to my granddaughter's soccer game last night. I hate soccer. I'm going to go back on that. I hate it more than ever. I hate soccer. I hate rugby, too. Whoever that other guy was said, oh, you wouldn't even be able to play rugby. Hell no, it's not American. I walked on that soccer. I got there a little bit late. I walked my little our little six-year-olds playing soccer out on the soccer field. I think that's what you call it. And I walk around the field to go over where my family's sitting, and here came my little two-year-olds running to Grampy. Ain't no better thing in the whole world. They totally and completely love and trust in me. And I see what's going on. And I can't get my ass off the couch on their behalf. Thank you, Lord. Some of you are mad right now because I said ass. That shows where we are. You're more worried about that. Form of godliness, denying the power of. 3 minutes. Somebody. I lose everybody. I still got.
Hey, people. Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Coach, this is Glenn.
Hey, Glenn.
I was listening to an excerpt from Leonard Ravenhill a while back. The title of it was, What is Your Life? And then I started to, and he made a reference to James 4:13. He says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And that's what Judge Moore made a reference. He actually referenced Psalm 103. 15 and 16, where he says, as for man, his days are like the grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it has no more, and his place is acknowledged no more, or no longer. And the thing that motivates me is the fact that this, how brief this life is. And if we as men and women, if we're not in the game, if we're just bench sitters, you know, applauding the people that are out in the field, what worth is your life?
Amen.
You know, Hebrews 12:1, you know, think of it as a race, all right? You know, Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, all those saints who have gone before us are in the stands cheering us, wanting us to run the race, to be in the game, not just to be sitting on the bench.
Amen.
You know, First Corinthians says, do you not know that those who run a race all run, but only one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may win. That's what we should be doing. That's what motivates me. We just have Amen, to do Glenn. Something. What did you say, Coach? Hit somebody?
Hit
we just
somebody.
Have to do something.
Amen. We're at the end of the show, Glenn. Good words there. Listen, folks, I'm unrelenting in my ability to awaken men and build a team. We are right now. We are right now at that critical moment. And I hate to tell you this, it ain't going to come from the church. It isn't coming from the church. I've seen it too much of it. If you can make a difference where you are, I can make a difference where I am. We have got to become organized. The left is organized. We are disorganized. The left is unified. We are disunified. We're not going to win. We got to wake up. Understand they hate us. And stop conceding their lies. Let the games begin. God bless you, boys, girls. We'll see you tomorrow.